Little disclaimer, this meeting these got set up kind of in our more traditional like meeting format rather than the webinar format that we had been using previously with attendees broken out, and we don't have a big group today, so it should be fine if we end up with a few more folks from the public joining. Everybody is coming in muted. And we can make sure that the public has their videos off. So we're really focusing on the faces that we care about. When your video is on, you kind of come to the front here so that we can see you better. But just a heads up that this does look a little bit different than what we have done in the past. And we will be having our traditional panelists set up for the full meeting tomorrow.
Okay. So, all right. Well, this is Barbara Baker. We are officially going to call the order of the Big Tent Committee meeting for the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. I think the first thing that we should probably do is make sure that we're all here. Just to make it easier, let me read off who I have on the screen. Nikki, I assume that you're keeping notes so that we can report back tomorrow. But I see Commissioner Limbill, Commissioner Anderson, Commissioner Smith, Commissioner Thorburn and Commissioner McIsaac for the commission members. I also see Amy Windrope, Nate Pamplin, Rob Geddes, Jeff Davis, Joe Panesco, Nikki Klopfer, Michelle, I'm not sure which Michelle, Lynn Helbrecht, Carrie McCausland, and Irene Levy on my screen. Michelle, could you let us know your last name?
Hi, Commissioner Baker, sorry. Michelle Blake, B-L-A-K-E, with the Mountain Lion Foundation.
Nice to have you here, Michelle. Is there anybody that I did not name that we could get down for our record?
Looks like Cynthia Wilkerson just joined.
Yeah, Cynthia Wilkerson, I'm here.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, everybody. We are here today to listen to the people from the agency let us know about the work that they've been doing on a new strategic plan. It's actually new in many ways. It's a bit of a new direction, so I'll be very interested to hear what people have to say. And I think with that, I should probably turn it over to Jeff Davis. Jeff.
Thank you, commissioners. I want to make sure. Last night we sent out, or yesterday afternoon, we sent out kind of the informal draft strategic plan that had all staff comments incorporated into it. And I think that went out to Big Tent Committee members. So I want to check in with Commissioner Anderson to make sure he has a copy. Okay, great.
Yes, I received it.
Excellent. So our intention, this can be pretty informal this morning. Feels like just yesterday we had a Big Tent Committee meeting and we kind of walked you through the high level of what the structure and the, sorry, 1 second. Sorry, my headphones have Bluetooth on and they're connected to my personal phone. And when my personal phone rings, it makes a motorcycle noise, which means I can't hear anything but motorcycles.
It just got one too.
Yeah. our intention this morning, I maybe start with many kudos to the team. I can't express to you all how much work has gone into a really abbreviated time frame to make sure that the draft we got you included all the consideration of staff comments that we received. And then many kudos to Carrie and Peggy of her team for starting to kind of lay out the format and make it a little more presentable, both to you and also hopefully in a couple weeks here for our public release. Anyway, so I want to be mindful of your time. Mr. Baker, I don't know if you had any desires. What I don't want to do is, like, we could either walk through the whole plan. My fear is that we'll be walking through the stuff that we walked through with you like a week or so ago. Or we can dive into some of the more details of the plan. So whatever is your preference, we are happy to do. And I think, Rob, you'll be pulling up and sharing your screen and helping us walk through that. Yep.
Okay, this is Barbara. Excuse me. Let's see if the other commissioners have any comments that they want to make, either to the approach that we go today or to the content of the plan, whether there is a desire to go back over the overarching what brought us here today, or should we focus in on the details? Do any of the commissioners have opening comments? Okay, with that, if we don't,
Robert Kim,
have my hand up.
Oh yeah, I've got to put my part. Go ahead, Commissioner Thurburn.
So I don't feel I need to really go through it. I'm really impressed. It does feel like just yesterday that we were discussing this and the work that's gone into it. Wow, Jeff, your team and all of the input from staff throughout the agency. I'm very excited about this document, and I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks of the public's response to it. It really is, I think, a new direction. I think it really expresses our values, and I just congratulate the team for the tremendous work that you've done. And also will mention Carrie and her shop. It looks nice. So the only thing I my beloved mother-in-law was an editor, so I read things in edit. I do have some copy edits, and we'll be interested to know, you know, how you want to handle that. And then I have just one sort of content comment that relates to strategy one. As we're talking about desired outcomes, particularly in the 25-year desired outcomes, we refer to healthy species and habitats. And I wonder if we don't want to think about sort of species populations and ecosystems. We are looking to get away from thinking about sort of, you know, it's part of the siloing individual species. So I just was thinking in that area, we might want to think the language of population and ecosystem versus species and habitats. Otherwise, congratulations, team. Great work.
This is Jim Anderson.
Go ahead, Jim.
I guess, you know, I like, you know, to begin with the approach, I was a touch skeptical, and probably remain a touch skeptical, but I like the format of how this has come together, and I'm warming up, I think, to the approach. I think the key thing to me to get over my concern is that we continue with this, but we don't lose the traditional engagement or people who have been supportive of the department in the traditional ways. I think the key there is to for them to see how this benefits the long term, and which is what the strategic plan is designed to do. So I think it's communication is the key in order for people to put where they think they are with where maybe we need to be, and have everybody on the same team rather than have what should be a real valuable piece, a tool, somehow splintering people rather than bringing them all together. So that's my only concern and my thoughts around that. All in all, very good job. I think the short period of time, a lot of engagement by the staff and the public, and I think that's great.
Thank you, Jim. Any other thoughts from Molly, Brad, or Don? Go ahead, Don.
Yes, thank you. I want to echo everything that Commissioner Thorburn said about the quality of the document and the pictures, the approach, the structure. I mean, it's just all excellent. The overarching question I have is I think I mentioned it last time, and I just would like to be clear on this. I know that you, Barbara, have talked a lot about the paradigm of thinking about things in terms of the North American model and this and that. There's not those kind of models mentioned in here. This strategic plan does describe a paradigm of thinking. So is it correct for us to, your answer last time was, as I recall, was this strategic plan is not supposed to signal to everyone that there has been a strict formal paradigm shift. I think that might have been your answer. And that's why I'm asking the question, just to get some clarity on this one. When this moves through the process, let's suppose it goes through unchanged between here and the end. What is the right way to answer questions about whether this is a paradigm shift in the various models that have been out there as blueprints for agencies to think about?
Okay, so if you're asking me, this plan was developed with input from the commission, but it really has been a ground up type of a process. And I think that probably Jeff and Rob, maybe Nate, are prepared to walk us through that process, maybe in a little abbreviated fashion, because we've heard it a couple of times before. So I didn't see this document until yesterday, like the rest of us did. The answer to your question about the paradigm shift is that I think it's an approach shift, but I don't believe it's much of a paradigm shift for the agency. We have, the agency has a document that we've all seen on conservation. It's 5003, I believe, that essentially provides the foundation for this work. I think this is more of a new approach than a paradigm shift. I'm not sure if that answers your question, Don, but my comments are that I also think this is just the result of just a ton of work, and it's odd to me and kind of rewarding that so many people have touched this or thought about it or contributed to it. And there seems to be quite a bit of agreement that we need to focus in the long term and making sure that in the long term, the people that come after us, as well as the people that are on the ground today, have opportunities. And I think that's what this is all about, to make sure that we understand clearly that our job is to have people understand what we do, and that we focus on making sure that we do our jobs to protect and perpetuate fish and wildlife, so that in the future there is still fish and wildlife to appreciate. I think that's the foundation of this. I'd be very interested in hearing from Jeff and Rob about that. That said, I echo Jim's comments. I think that this is, we're calling it a strategic plan, and it is a strategic plan, but it's only a strategic plan for what we need to change, for what we aren't doing now. And I think there is more work to do in both the fish and the wildlife area in terms of when we get down to the meat of these performance measures, what we need to do specifically for fish and for wildlife to ensure that we meet these goals. I think this plan well covers habitat, sort of land management, the thing that we use a short term for, which is relevancy, in making sure that the work of the department not only touches all the people that are residents of this state, but that they understand and know what we do and hopefully appreciate it. So this plan does a fabulous job of that. But I do think that as we go forward, I look at it as in three buckets. I welcome a conversation on this. I look at it, I know conservation is a word that maybe we all have different definitions for, but I look at this as a conservation plan. And as part of that, there, when we get down to the specific performance measures and just what we, the absolute things that we need to do, both in the short and the long term, we need to be pretty much, much more specific in terms of fish and wildlife. So those are my three buckets: conservation, fish, and wildlife. And this, I look at this as an overarching document. My only other comment on this draft is to maybe expand a bit on what Kim said. It's, I'm looking to 29 pages of language consisting of an executive summary, a foreword, an overview, an introduction, and then specific strategies. I found that kind of redundant as I read it. I think it needs to be edited down. And I'm not sure if I found that the executive summary and the introduction basically said the same things. We expanded the things that we're saying, the messages that we're trying to provide in each one of those sections, but I think it could use a little bit of editing. So those are my only, that's my feedback on a document and process that I think goes way beyond the nine of us and has been developed with an incredible amount of work. The last thing I want to say in terms of opening comments is that I did listen to the BPAG meeting last week, and it was a little bit of trepidation because I was concerned that the people in that committee, they've worked together for so many years and done such good work, and they represent probably more than half of the people on that committee are anglers or hunters or very closely associated with those activities. So I thought, well, boy, you know, what is their reaction to this kind of document going to be? And I was heartened and surprised, slightly surprised, at how positive they were. There was a couple of people who had very minor editing, and then one person suggested that it does needed to be edited a bit. So, but there was, far as I could tell, they were echoing the same things that we've said here today. So I was really glad to hear that. So those are my comments.
Yeah. Barbara? Yes, Brad? I echo that. I'm also aware and appreciative of Jim's comments. I think that we will be and we continue to be, keep traditional users in the forefront. A good edit is always necessary. My experience with plans, whether they're called strategic plans or whatever, is that word count does matter, and more words is not necessarily better. But I'm confident that Jeff et al. Are going to be looking at it that way as well. That this was, as we all did, just read it from last night. So I'm looking forward to hearing what they're saying, and confident. It's a lot of work, and it's well laid out. So thank you.
So it sounds to me like, Jeff, we're back to you.
Wonderful. So yeah, there's no doubt. We've heard multiple times like, hey, this is way too big. And we've had conversations inside the team about, okay, we're hearing it's way too big. We agree this has to get pared down. And there's that balance that we're trying to strike right now with capturing everything that we've heard, putting it out, just kind of in this smaller group, right? The smaller group of commissioners, the BPAG, the stakeholders that we interviewed. And so we're trying to not like narrow it down too quickly as part of the process, so that we could get more robust feedback about what needs to change between now and when we release a public version for public review and comment. So we'll get there. And then we're also thinking about, it may be totally responsible to have a more robust version that we use internally, and then have a more concise version that the public sees and can hold us accountable for. Maybe touching on the piece about a new path, or are we changing? Here's my perspective on that. My sense is, in my career, that the department really has been under-resourced for a really, really long time. And as part of that, we are hypersensitive to the revenue streams that come in that we need to do better for, to because that's an economic piece that we have some control over. And that has us operating maybe with a higher percentage of our resources going to the current focus. And hopefully that's clear. What this plan is for me is getting beyond serving the people today and providing the opportunities with more energy placed on the opportunity like tomorrow and next month, to a more expanded investment into the people that are going to be pursuing the opportunities a decade from now or two decades from now, the people that are going to be in these jobs behind us a decade or two decades from now. And that's not to take away, this plan isn't to take away from what we've been doing all along, because, we've been doing the best we can with what we have. It really is to become a more robust agency, providing more robust connections with the whole public and growing future conservationists, bird watchers, hunters, anglers, and making sure that commercial fishermen still have an industry to participate in. So I don't necessarily see this as a new direction. I see it as an expanded or an expansion that fits within the mandate and mission that we have. So I also wanted to say I agree with the performance measures piece, and full disclosure, the team is just like, I don't want to say they're placeholders, because just something we randomly drew out of a hat. But that is an area where we know we have to spend more time to hone in. That's why you can see, and I apologize, I don't remember the language around the performance measure, but it's something like initial or pre or whatever that we reference there, because we know we need to listen to the public comment. We need to work with you all and figure out what are the right performance measures. What does the public care about? And how do we use our data to track our own performance to report in a meaningful way so the public can see that we're making progress or not, and that we can use it to adaptively manage as we go forward. So I agree that we need more specific fish and wildlife performance measures, and the ones that we have in there probably could use a lot more work as well. So we're looking forward to feedback. We're looking forward to these interactions with you, BPAG, the other stakeholders that we interviewed to try to hone in on what are the best performance measures for us to start with moving forward as we implement the plan. And maybe one last piece is the whole values and North American model. I may be alone in this. Washington State is, as a lifelong Washington resident, is a unique and special place, at least to me. And I'm just so you know, my personal preference isn't to get hung up on North American model or wildlife governance principles. We have an opportunity to create our own values in our own Washington model. And I think that that's, we in this strategic plan tried to use our conservation principles from our conservation policy for now. And I think there's space to have a conversation in the future about, you know, expanding our Washington conservation value model.
Question?
Go ahead, Doc. Oh, and Kim's in line too. Let's go to Kim first because her hand was up first.
Thanks. So Jeff, no, you're not alone in terms of saying that let's be clear about our own values. We've done the work with the conservation principles. I'm fully supportive of that. And that was what pleased me with this draft, because I began to see that coming through. We are the leaders in fish and wildlife conservation for Washington. And to be very clear about our values, and for all of us, one DFW to agree on those values and put them forward as the leaders in fish and wildlife conservation to the public is really important. And I feel that's beginning to come through in this draft. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim. Don, let's go to you.
Yeah, thanks, Barbara. I also like that answer, Jeff. So if you went to a conference somewhere, and at this governance conference, somebody asked you, is Washington following the North American model? What I took from your answer would be, well, no, not necessarily. We're following the Washington model. In other words, we don't fit a particular exact paradigm that someone else say we're underneath. So I think that's a very good answer. So I like that.
Yeah, I guess the way I would answer is, and this is going to be a little cliche, but yes, and Washington is following the North American model, and we've expanded on it in a modernized way.
So we have two hands up right now. Let's go to Jim Anderson.
Okay, it's getting back to the performance standards and amplifying them with fish and wildlife over time. And I think that's a good tact. I think it's important, because when I was hearing Jeff talk, and I agree that we're trying to build out the future, you always build on where you're at now. I mean, it's just the foundation that we have, whether it's perfect or not. And so I think we need to just make sure that that as we do this, that we're empowering or bringing the right kinds of information, messages, engagement with the traditional constituents as we're going forward. And I think everybody's on that same page, but I think it's extremely critical because we're fighting the battles right now. We're not fighting the battles 25 years from now yet. And so we need to have as many people as we can dialed in as we can to, you know, make the progress we need. So I'm hearing the right things. I'm just trying to amplify this handoff or this nexus right there so that we don't lose that. Okay.
Thanks, Jim. Nate.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner Baker. You know, as we've done the comparisons and looked at the critiques of the North American model, what I think is really neat about the strategic plan that Jeff organized here is that it takes it preserves the core tenets of the North American model, and it builds on and incorporates the critiques and recommendations from the Wildlife Society and the Wildlife Management Institute and others in academia. And it does it in a way that's not an in-your-face, sharp right turn. It is, you know, there's elements here of broadening connections with constituencies, better engagement with the public, shifting from a harvested species concept to an ecosystem-based management approach, trying to secure stable, broad-based funding for conservation. So those are the big elements, the big challenges, the gaps of the North American model that this plan helps us shift and address those. So it's as someone who was born and raised and steeped in the North American model, and Commissioner Anderson, I fully understand that concern that you're sharing. But also as a lifelong conservationist, this is absolutely a really solid direction for us to go, and for us to be successful, ultimately carrying out our mandate. So it's pretty exciting the touch that Jeff and the team did to help us with that shift. Thanks.
So this is Barbara again. This is exactly the kind of discussion that we need to be having. And I hope that this isn't perceived as what Nate called a right turn, because I don't believe it is. But I wanted to remind the members of this committee that a couple of committee meetings ago, we talked about whether the commission needs to have a formal policy on our principles. And we thought that was a good idea. There's been some drafts of that. I think Nate and Jeff have come up with a couple of drafts about what that could be. But we tabled that discussion for just temporarily so that we could focus on this. I'd like to get back to that once we get the strategic plan into the public area and we start getting comments back. But I think it's very appropriate that we come up, and I love the idea of not calling it this model or that model or other sort of canned models that have already been developed elsewhere, but having us come up with our own set of principles that work in tandem with the all the work that's been done in the strategic plan. So I hope to get back to that if the rest of the committee is amenable, just not yet. The other thing that I wanted to say about input is that we plan to have this. This is an important document, I believe. I think it's an extremely important document. And it also needs to have quite a bit more public attention. So the right now what we're thinking about is having at least two full commission meeting presentations on this. Who knows whether we'll be east of the mountains or west of the mountains by then, but we hope to do this, have one in June. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, one in June and one in August. Well, at least we're going to have two meetings where this plan is presented in the full to the full commission with adequate public comment. And we'll also in those meetings be getting synopses of what the public comment that comes in, you know, not at the commission meetings. So this is not a starting point, but it's also definitely not an ending point. And my suspicion is we'll hear a lot of that, a lot of input from people who are concerned that their traditional stakeholders aren't front and center enough. We will adapt accordingly. But I also think that as this sinks in, that our hunters and anglers will realize that what we're trying to do is have opportunity for, you know, their kids and grandkids and on and on. So I just didn't want people to think that this is an end product. Any comments on that? Oh, let's see. I've got Jeff Davis and somebody said something. Well, let's go with Jeff then.
Yeah, I think it was Amy that was. A couple things. One, interested in your feedback on this. There's the traditional piece that we're really sensitive to. We don't want to leave the traditional stakeholders or have them feeling like we're leaving them behind, because that's not the case at all. In fact, the R3 piece of this is we're trying to invest in them and future traditional stakeholders as part of this plan. There's a balance that we're trying to strike between saying that our traditional stakeholders are the only people that have done anything about conservation and reaching out to that broader community. Because if you say that to a conservation organization, that it's only hunters that care about wildlife, then it complicates our ability to connect with them or have them see a plan that they see or are attracted or compelled by to engage and come under that umbrella. So I'm not picking sides when I say that. So hopefully people aren't hearing that. It's just that this balance that the team is trying to strike in this plan and the words around it that go far enough that traditional stakeholders feel that we're not leaving them behind or that they're diminished in any way, and have it be able to be read by other people that support clean air and clean water and all those other things that have fought for similar legislation and funding, see themselves or see the department as inviting them under the umbrella to help us more. And then the other piece I think that we could really use help with, and it starts probably with the words in here, and I've heard some of you touch on this, as a hunter and angler myself, that I think our reality is if we don't do this plan, if we can get enough investment and take action, we'll help hunters and anglers opportunities today, right? And as an elk hunter in Central Washington, I'm not super duper happy for archery.
It's another story.
Archery people do contribute to PR on the record. But I see this plan as these actions. I mean, we got Cynthia on here. Like, what we do on our lands is critical. We got to invest in our lands. That's going to improve hunting and fishing opportunities as well as ecological integrity and watchable wildlife and other outdoor recreation that we've been really trying hard to put in the forefront. And now it's in the plan in a prominent way, right? So I need help because I'll tap the recreational anglers as an example. How do we get them engaged in a way that they understand when our watersheds are healthier, then natural origin populations have a chance to increase so that they can catch more of the hatchery fish that we're putting out there as an example. And I just don't see them going there. I see them going to, you know, a quick fix. And so we could use your help to help us get the right words in here that really appropriately strikes that balance. So our hunters and anglers definitely, and I'll throw the commercials in there. So they feel like we're not walking away from them, that we're leaning into them and trying to meet their expectations in a more robust way. At the same time, we're also trying to do what I've heard them say, like, hey, stop tapping on us and go get the rest of the public to fund this other stuff because they use it too. And so we're, anyway, that was a lot of words, but that one's a really delicate balance that we're trying to strike, and we could use your help.
Okay, well, I see Amy's hand up.
You know, I'll hold off, Barbara, because I just want to, I'm just keeping track of some to-dos and some timings, so I'll report out when you're kind of ready for that.
Sure. Okay, thanks, Amy. Jim, your hand is up.
Yes, I think Jeff has got it well focused as focused as it can be with his comments. You know, I think I agree with what he said. I think that's the challenge. We really need to get people engaged in meaningful ways and pulling in the right direction instead of at times pulling apart. And I'm talking even within the fish and wildlife community. So it's about allocation issues or frustrations rather than about expanding the pie or protecting the resource and the habitat for the future. So, you know, I think Jeff has got that well understood, and I appreciate this conversation.
All right, so there was two ways that this meeting could have gone. We could have gone through the PowerPoint that Rob went through with BPAG. It was, I think, 49 slides, quite long, quite good. I learned a lot in that, or we could have had this discussion. Personally, I think this discussion has been much more useful for us because we've had at least 4 and maybe 5 meetings previous to this as we struggled to not only figure out what should be in the plan, but what our role is in the plan. And the way that I look at our role in this strategic plan is that we aren't driving this bus, we are on the bus, but we are dictating to some extent and supporting the massive outreach that has already happened both to internally with our employees, but then externally with other groups that are still kind of wondering if we really mean it or not. And I haven't personally been involved in those meetings, but there have been many of them. And if anybody wants to be reminded of that, I'm sure Jeff or Rob has spreadsheets with who was contacted and how those meetings went. So we are on this bus, but at some point, the way that I see this happening, first off, this is obviously a living document. It's going to change over the next few years, probably forever. But what'll happen is that once we hear all the public input, I believe that'll be in the July meeting. That'll be the last public meeting that we have on this rendition of the plan. Then the commission will decide to adopt it or not. And so that's where we drive. We will have had, you know, many more opportunities to see the input, and then we will decide at some point whether we adopt this plan. I wonder, does anybody disagree with that timeline or process? Don disagrees. So go ahead, Don. You got to unmute yourself.
There we go. No, I don't disagree with the timeline. I have a question about it, though. And it sounds like that we're not going to look at the PowerPoint slide, which I'm very comfortable with, and just do this more freelancing discussion here. I had one matter of substance that caught my eye in the plan. I wondered about talking about it. But in terms of the process that you described, are you looking to have a recommendation come out of this committee that would be entertained by the full commission at the June meeting or not? And there was a discussion earlier about submitting some edits, and maybe, you know, well, considering edits that come from a variety of sources, including maybe from this committee or from commissioners. Is there going to be another draft then before June? So just on the process matter, we're going to talk about the whole business here today. Are you looking for a recommendation out of the committee now, or are you going to wait till right before the June meeting, or not have a recommendation out of the committee and just have the full commission consider releasing something for public review in June?
I have two answers to that. Again, this is a fairly democratic process, so I'd love to hear other people's opinions. I think it's too early for us to recommend anything. I think that we will have a recommendation for the July meeting when this thing begins to be final, and our recommendation will go to the full commission, whatever we recommend. I think what I'd like to do is report tomorrow a very synopsized version of this discussion. I think I can draw from the comments, I was trying to write them down, that the committee is looking favorably both on the process and the substance of the plan. But I think the plan is important enough where all of the commissioners are going to be need to be pretty facile with it. With the end, we've been steeped in it since the beginning, but this is something that they're all going to have, each one of us is going to have to make up our own mind about whether it's adopted or not. With respect to when this document goes out, I don't really believe it's the commission's job to dictate that specifically, otherwise, except to say that we need to get this document out into the public forum as soon as we can to meet our timing, to give the public plenty of time to make comment in advance of the two meetings that we have coming up. So I think what this meeting, what we're doing right now, is identifying whether there are any big problems with this going to the public, and then we leave it like we do with every other missive that goes out from the agency. We normally let the people at the agency decide, given the timing that we need, the staging that has to happen as these things are unfolded, particularly when to push the button. So I think what this meeting is for is to ask whether there's any reason for this thing not to go public, essentially. Does anybody else have an opinion on that? Well, Amy's hand is still up. Amy, are you, do you have an opinion?
I don't have a strong opinion, except that I hold the same value you do as getting it out to the public for review. And just to make sure I'm tracking with it, what you're saying is that we'd get it out to review to the public. There would be a public hearing at the June commission meeting, and there would be basically an approval at the July commission meeting. Is that correct? And if that is correct, then yes, I think we need to get it out soon.
I believe what Jeff and I had talked about was to have two full commission meetings with public input.
Okay.
We believe that we sort of go, it's loose, but we have a loose rule that we do not make a decision on the same meeting that we have public input. We try to, that looks too much like we've already predetermined the outcome. So what Jeff and I had thought was that we would have two full meetings where we have ample time for input, and then we adopt or not at the next meeting after that, which I believe is a phone call in August.
Okay.
Is that correct, Jeff? Go ahead.
Yeah, so our intention, the process that we're in right now, is that we wanted to get this in your hands with the hope of right after this meeting, we send it out to BPAG. We potentially send it out to, as a initial sneak peek, to tribes and to the people that we interviewed, the stakeholders that we interviewed, as kind of a preview and an opportunity to provide us some quick feedback by May 26th. So then the intention is we would incorporate any comments we received on that initial sneak peek into a new version that would go to the full commission. And then in June, you would have the team and myself give a presentation to the full commission about the process and what's in the plan. And then we would already have that out to the public, but not with a lot of time for them to digest it. So we wanted to give a space for the public that has been able to look at it, an opportunity to provide you some feedback, and then have a more robust public hearing on it in the July meeting with consideration for adoption in August. And we're trying to give, the change in the schedule really is twofold. One, at the end of the day, we weren't gonna have enough, in my opinion, time for the public to really digest it. So we had a couple week review and comment period built into our original timeline to have it adopted by July. And the second reason is we wanted it originally adopted by July so it could really truly inform the budget and policy decision packages that would be developed and go to you for consideration. Quite frankly, COVID has that all sorts of messed up right now. So, and I think we've learned enough to be able to work internally to develop a decision package that would incorporate key components of the strategic plan that we want to try to advance for your consideration. So, so I feel more comfortable about this extension of our original process, because I do think it's going to be really important for the full commission to have enough time to really digest this. And also it's going to be critical that the public has, you know, a month to take a look and provide us comment and talk with you all at least twice about, you know, what they like and don't like about the plan before you have to consider adopting.
Thanks, Jeff. Let's see. Commissioner McIsaac, Don.
Yeah, so maybe now, anyway, let me say that process all sounds fine to me. I think that sounds good. Maybe now is, if I had a comment on substance, is now the right time to bring that up?
Sure. Yes.
So as I was looking through it, I was looking for any reference to the commission. And I didn't do a word search, but I didn't quite see any. And maybe the commission is mentioned in there, maybe it's not. But if it's not, I'm going to ask a couple questions about why maybe not in a few areas. So there's a lot of discussion about the collective we, which is all very good. There's times when the department staff is mentioned, but if there's not any mention of the commission's role in all of this, I just wondered why not. And I thought, well, what sections would be appropriate for it even to come up? And in the community engagement section on pages 16, I guess it is, if I can get the stuff moving around my screen. There's talk about developing pathways for engagement that lead to positive long-term relationships with the department. In other words, confidence from the public. Number six says make decision-making process more accessible and transparent to residents. But there's no mention of the commission process there. And I thought, well, maybe in terms of getting the community to feel like they're engaged, when it gets down to the commission's role as the policy decision-making body of the collective we, that maybe there ought to be some mention of that, because to get real confidence from the public that they're behind all of this, there will be, I would hope that there's going to be some real strong involvement from the public in the commission process. Then I thought, well, maybe it's in the operational excellence section, which is way at the end on page 28. And I just wondered if maybe I really like the performance indicator set aside so people can clearly look at that, short-term actions, long-term actions, but there, again, there's no mention of the commission process, I think, in that section. And it might be good, it would seem to me, if we would have something about, a strategy to have very strong public notice to the public about commission decision-making, so that they can be engaged. And when it gets down to policy decision-making, which is the role of the commission, that we want to strive for excellence in that arena as well. Having thought about all that, so much has gone into that, I guess I would just ask the question to Jeff and others that I'm probably missing something of why the commission isn't specifically mentioned in this whole business, or maybe they are and I just didn't pick it up with my eyes. So that's the comment.
That's not intentional, and that's a good catch. I think we've been focused really on the biological ecosystem outcomes, the process as far as the stakeholders and the staff are involved. And I think maybe there's something there to look into a little more about why we would write this and the commission wouldn't necessarily pop up on the radar as prominently. So those are catches. If you don't mind, I took notes, but I would encourage all of you, if you just have a millisecond of time, to provide us kind of your feedback in writing too, if that's possible, or give us a shout and let's make sure that we capture all those important edits that you guys see right now between now and May 26th.
So Commissioner Thorburn has her hand up.
Don, I do think that's a great catch, and I hadn't noticed it until you brought it up. And you brought up performance measures in the final portion of your comments. I agree. I think performance measures, looking at commission accountability toward this plan, for example. Jeff has said that that's the greatest area that need for fleshing out are performance measures, and I would certainly encourage that as the commission's role is woven into the plan, that there are performance measures to match that.
Thanks, Kim. I had a question, Jeff. The earlier version of this, the last couple of pages were some matrices that were set out on landscape paper, and it was basically bullets. It was an outline. They don't appear in this. Have they disappeared forever? Or, because I really liked them. Or are they somewhere else?
We'll send you a special version. We sent this out and people were like, love them. That's why we kept them in, because some people like myself were very visual and other people are more comfortable reading the text, and the text was the same in the matrix versus the plan. And so it's we feel as a team that we're sitting in for a year on some people like the matrix, some people hated it because it was just repetitive of what was in the text. So I think we still have the matrix stuff, and we still have time to figure out, do we do anything with that? And again, I think as I'm thinking about this one or two page strategic plan that's public, it's going to be kind of that critical next step, and maybe we have the matrix online that people could just easily go to and see. We don't know what to do with the matrix right now.
Okay. All right, I don't see any other hands up. We were also going to get a public affairs update on this plan. If this is the right time, let's go to Carrie. It's 9:30 and we have another meeting at 10. So I'm not sure, Carrie, how long what you have to say, but let's try to get us out of here in 15 minutes. Does that work for you? Oh, Amy's, hang on just a minute, Carrie. Amy's hand is up again.
Hey, Barbara, I just wanted to check in and make sure that I'm sort of tracking the steps. So one of the steps that you articulated was the restarting the work on the kind of the combining of the conservation policy with the North American model, with the governance principles and that work. And that's currently scheduled to be briefed in September. Were you suggesting to put that off further, or was that what you had in mind?
What I was trying to do was test the other commissioners' agreement that we will look at the principles. We still have to sort of have the discussion about whether the agency and the commission needs a commission policy on governance principles. I'd like to do that at the next Big Tent Committee meeting. And then if we agree that we do, then I think that process will be a lot quicker and a lot easier than developing the strategic plan. So September sounds good to me. Does anybody else have any other feelings about that? Okay, I see no hands. So let's just stay on the current schedule.
Okay, thank you.
So let's go to Carrie.
Okay, I'm just pulling that up. I don't think I'm prepared to be able to share my screen. That's so, isn't it?
You should have the, down at the bottom, Carrie, the little green button.
I'm listed as an attendee, so I don't know if that gives me that option or not.
You should, everybody's actually coming in equal on today's meeting, because it's a smaller group of folks, so I think we are all just participants together, and we should.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to hover. There you go. Cool.
Great. And I was actually a little bit prepared because we already talked about the outreach with the big related to the strategic plan. I was going to cover a few other things if you guys are agreeable to that, but it is at your discretion.
I think at this point, Carrie, you should cover what you'd like to cover.
Okay, I will make it quick. I'm happy to do that. I was just going to share that although this has been a trying time for the department, we actually have made some progress on some things that are kind of interesting and exciting, and I thought you might like to know about it. We did see, as a result of all of the interest in our closures, a big uptick in our following on social media, and you know, it was a tough way to do it, but it is a good silver lining. And so I just wanted to share that with you. So you can kind of see that we added about 3,000 people really almost within a couple days to following our social media. And then one of the things that was quite interesting was when people were waiting for, they were waiting to hear on Monday, whether we're going to extend the closures or what was going to happen, we actually saw our highest that we know of visit numbers to our new website since it's gone live. And we had about 12,000 people waiting for information. And we were watching it very carefully because we wanted to see if there were any performance issues. And we were a little nervous about it, although technically we knew we were in a good space. You never know till you know, and it performed beautifully. And I just wanted you to know that that was a really exciting day for us, and it worked like a charm. One of the things I hope you guys have seen, I'm not sure if you have, and I'm going to click through, see if this works to click through, and maybe we'll get to, I'll be able to share this new screen. And are you seeing our new our website? Yes? No?
We're seeing, I see a screen that has at the bottom homeschooling resources.
Okay, yeah, I think so you're not seeing a web page share. So I'm going to pick the new screen. Here you go. This should work.
Yeah, I think you may have shared just the, oh, perfect. There we go.
You got it? Okay. So one of the things we started doing when this hit, we wondered what are people going to be needing during this time? And we started creating these homeschooling resources for parents. And we've been promoting this to audiences. I'm sorry, I have my family in the background. We've been promoting this to audiences through our social media. And it's actually, this page has risen to be one of the higher use pages in recent months. And if you take a look, it's really good content, and I'm excited because we're getting really good cross-program support for this. So we have people participating in creating the content from Habitat program, from our wildlife program, from our fish program, and we're expecting to be able to offer this all the way through June when school would normally be in session. So it's been a neat way for us to reach out to new audiences and promote just promote what we do and the amazing Washington wildlife that we serve.
Yeah, Carrie, so, Carrie, this is Brad. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
I think this is outstanding. And all the list of all of our external partners that have been involved in what we're doing should also be aware of this. I mean, doing it through social media, I think is great, but a lot of people wouldn't be aware of that. You know, I think just letting all of our partners out there, whether it's Audubon or whatever, know that we're doing this would also help stimulate, you know, usage.
Great idea. And we'll do that. Yeah, absolutely. It just to specify, it's become the 73rd ranked webpage on our website, which is quite high. Just below, you know, Weekender is 56th page. And this was in April. These stats are from April. And in April, as you'd imagine, North of Falcon usually gets a lot of visits, but it even outranked North of Falcon page at that time.
One more link. I would contact the North Pacific Institute, which is just down the road in Olympia, because they have a great network of educational partners.
Great idea.
Where is this on the website then, Carrie?
Well, we have it featured right now on our spotlight section on the homepage, so you can get to it easily from there. And just to give you guys some stats, we've reached about over 100,000 people with this content when we market it on social media. So that is performing pretty well for us, but you're right. There is more to it than that. And just for our partners to know that we're doing this would be very beneficial. Okay, one of the other things I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to have to do the little new share thing, I think.
We can see backyard wildlife.
Oh, you can see it? Oh, it went? Okay. So maybe I need to stop sharing there. You got there. Okay. Is our backyard wildlife photo contest. So since people are, of course, spending more time at home, we thought, hey, this is a great way to get some new photos in. And the photos have been amazing. It has been a real joy for the team. And one of the benefits for us is that we get to use these photos when they're submitted. They're giving us rights to use these photos in our material. So you'll even see some of the photos in here are in that strategic plan draft that you've received. And if you haven't taken a look, I would just suggest you take a quick peruse. And what we're doing is it's an interactive kind of experience, social media experience. So our Facebook followers are actually voting on their favorite photos. And then they, you know, the winning photo gets the incredible honor of being featured on our Facebook page.
as the banner image. So it's not as though we're providing a lot of monetary value, but you do get bragging rights. And what's really exciting is we've received about, more than 200 at this point, new photos to our photo inventory that staff can now use for PowerPoints. We can use materials like our strategic plan. So it's just kind of, it's been really fun for our staff to have something positive coming out of this. And also the public, they're really enjoying these photos too. So it's been really well received. Yeah.
Carrie, again, this is Brad. I would up the perk on that a little bit too, to have a rotation in the governor's office around, you know, the table that we sit around, because he's always got pictures of Washington. But if we could have a contest, get your picture in the governor's office, I think it would be a good bridge with the governor, and I think it would be a good public relations thing, and then have that featured monthly, that this is the new photo in the governor's office.
Yeah. I like it. Thank you. Okay. And then the final thing I was going to do is just mention, this is separate from our COVID opportunities, but we have our work plan. That was a new document to folks last time I visited. So we have a new version of our work plan that's been posted. And if you don't have that, we can get that to you. But is always available to you to kind of see what we're working on. And let's see, how are we doing on time? You want your time back, Barbara? I have one more thing I could cover, but it's...
No, you've got, let's go 4 minutes. You've got it.
Okay. Then I will share with you one more thing we've been working on, and hopefully this will come up on the screen easily. Are you seeing Domolic acid?
Right.
Webpage. Yes. Great. Okay. So this is something that we rolled out recently, and it's an example of what we're hoping to do more of on the website. This data is interactive, so people can sort of manipulate it and understand it in the ways that they're interested. You can click on a dot and you can get some information, and you can hover and get your content there. This is, as you can see, it's a Domolic acid levels. We haven't been able to promote this improvement to the website because, of course, we're not razor clamming right now. But normally, these are very popular pages, and people like to know what's happening with the acid levels in their area. And although this example is very specific, it's an example of how we're going to be providing data to folks in ways that is interactive in the future. And so we'll be using the same sort of method on other pages in the near future. I think that it's just a better way for people to access it. And it also continues to be ADA accessible, which we're excited about. So just wanted to draw your attention to that. This one update is sort of small, but it actually represents a shift in the data. And the wonderful thing is the researchers, when they come in and they enter that data, it just goes live very quickly. So as soon as they're able to get back and load the data is as quick as the public gets to see it. It's very fast. Okay, so that's what I have for you.
Carrie, I think that you are doing just a splendid job. And this kind of thing shows it. We need to, you know, it's not just the public that needs to know what we're doing. It's us as well. And I appreciate you coming up with these examples. My guess is these examples are just representative of many, many things that are happening, but especially this kind of interactive thing that makes the website much more dynamic. And somebody might say, hey, I think that is a wonderful way to get people to not just go to the website when they have some odd question, but to monitor whatever is of interest to them in real time. And so I think that's just fantastic. Does anybody else have any comments? Jim, you lit up, but I don't know that you wanted to say something.
Me?
The little square lit up on my screen.
No.
Well, then let's close out this meeting and give ourselves a few minutes before the Wildlife Committee meeting, which starts at 10. I want to say that this format is has its definite pros and cons. And the pros is that we're all sitting in our own houses and not in a sterile hotel room. But the cons are that it's really clunky, and I'm especially clunky at it. So I really want to appreciate the other commissioners and the staff for just the way we conduct ourselves and giving each other a little bit of a break on this kind of odd way to have a meeting. So with that, if I don't see any other hands, I'll see most of you again pretty soon and in the Wildlife Committee meeting. And let's go ahead and adjourn this meeting right now. We'll talk about strategic plan again next month.